Here we are rolling into a Getaway Friday, Friday, December 27th, 2019, the last Friday of 2019. How about that? 14 minutes past the hour, and we have got a great show today. We've got two great guests on this morning, and one of them, I think, is about to join us momentarily. Let's see here. As we are in the midst of the holiday season here, there is one thing we do each and every year at this time. We want to look ahead to the year of 2020 and see what is going to happen, what is going to go on. Well, there's only one person who can figure that out for us. He was just on with us last week. We had a tremendous amount of fun with him in the holiday season, and now we're going to get his world-famous predictions on a year, 2020, which will see the start of a new decade. It will see a presidential election. It will see a leap year. It's a leap year. It will see an Olympic game. Oh, it's going to be a big year, 2020. And for all the predictions, what a pleasure it is to be joined by my friend, a regular visitor to this program, one of Johnny Carson's favorites, one of Sally Jesse Raphael's favorites, one of David Letterman's favorites, and certainly one of my favorites, the legendary mentalist, the amazing Kreskin. Kreskin, how are you?
I am great. I'm alert now. We got back in the middle of the night. I had a performance in New York City last night, which was for a charity, and it was really was filled to capacity, and I was happy to see that. But I'm looking forward to talking to you. My God, did you say this is a leap year coming up this year?
This is a leap year. 2020 is a leap year.
Oh, my God. Scott, I learned from you. When we have conversations, we always go into some peripheral area, and I come away thinking, you know, I didn't know, Scott, that it is a leap year. Oh, goodness sakes. How was your Christmas? Did you have a great day?
Christmas was great. It was beautiful weather here on the East Coast. We were up at about 50 degrees. It was just perfect. How was yours?
It was good. I had a performance the night before, and it was a good day. And talk about food. The food was coming out of the rafters. I think the first time I had four seafood sandwiches in one meal because they just hit the spot and were so tasty. Now, I'm not a hog when I eat, but sometimes when I eat things, I love seafood. I don't know if you do as well, but I just love seafood.
Oh, yeah, seafood is great, and it's one of those things when you eat it, it's very addicting.
Yeah, yeah, I couldn't put it down. It was like a dessert. Yes, that's all I could say. Right now, my four cats are being fed this morning, and they're here in the kitchen. Pumpkin, who's the color of pumpkin, 8 years old, and his brother Spooky, who is totally a black cat, and then my two younger ones, which are a couple of years old, Sugar and Spice. I just love them dearly. You know, they stabilize me. See, I can't always talk to a stabilizer like Scott all the time, although I'd like to do that. So the cats are here, and they when I come home, they sit in my lap, and people think, you know, there's a very good chance that Kreskin may be normal and down to earth. I was kidding myself last night because I had such a good time, and I enjoy my audiences immensely, you know. So this is going to be an interesting year. I'll tell you some things that are of concern to me, and not everything is going to be maybe in the most positive flavor. But I don't want anyone to think that I'm speaking gloom and so forth. No, I am a very positive, energetic person, and I sometimes think over, as we've discussed in the past, negative situations can often cause innovations in us to rise to a higher level. You know what I mean, Scott. We've discussed this before.
I do, and before we get into the predictions, Kreskin, what I want you to do, because I don't think we've ever done this, you've been making these New Year's predictions for many years now. How did this all start?
Well, that's very interesting, because I think the real reason it started to take place is when it came to elections and so forth, and in recent years, as you know, I've made statements about elections that were contradictory to what the surveys showed, and what the in the last election, everyone knew that Hillary Clinton was going to win. All the surveys showed that, and so forth. And the secrets to those kind of predictions, and I reveal them to you, it's not that I'm looking into some crystal ball. I've tried sky crystal gazing, but I get massive headaches, so I decided to put these crystal balls down and just kind of reflect. And I get my best ideas when I'm jogging and so forth. But one of the secrets of my success is that the way I have done my research for my predictions is my audiences. Let me tell you something that I started doing years ago. Let's say it's election time and what have you, or it's a year before the election, and I'll say something to the audience, you know, I'll say something kiddingly about the Democratic candidate, if it's one or two or three or four, or in the Republican candidate, I'll say something jokingly. And it's not disparaging, but it's joking. There was a time when we could kid about these, and I listened to the audience, and I want to tell you something, and this doesn't tell me how the whole nation's going to vote, but I can tell you, at the end of that remark, within 5 or 6 seconds, how most of that audience is going to vote. I can just feel it, not by asking, oh, you're going to vote for so-and-so, vote for so-and-so. No. All I have to do is, and I've done this in police research also, and working with witnesses and what have you, I hear what my audience is thinking. Now, that means at the end of that show, I can tell you, well, that audience is going to go for this president or this candidate and what have you. So that doesn't tell me to make a prediction in the coming time. But at the end of scores and scores and 50, 60, 70, 80 shows, I can tell you with great conviction who is going to win an election. And I started sensing this early in my life, when in my late teens, I would talk to people about things going on, a movie, how the movie went and so forth. And usually, if I bring up a movie to someone who's gone to a movie, and I don't say this braggishly, within 20 seconds, I can tell you if they liked the movie, disliked the movie, had some confusion about it. I can hear it instantly in their voice without them telling me, oh, I didn't like this movie, or I liked this movie. People know me here in the office for this to be the case. When a phone call comes through and I pick up a phone call, I know within 10 seconds whether the person calling is serious, a crisis, just a general discussion or what have you. I listen. And you know something, Scott? I talked to you about a word that's very, very key in my life. The word is empathy. And that's one of the secrets of my success. Empathy played a very important role very early in my career, because it was used to describe someone in broadcasting that the psychologist could not figure out what the hell made him such a tremendous success. And here I am in my preteens and in my teens, and the person is on 90 Minutes in the Morning, Minutes Radio on TV in the morning, and then a couple times at night and so forth. And so they created a word. Psychologists created a word that had been used in the past, but not a very popular word. The word was empathy. And that word was used to describe someone whom you remember by the name of Arthur Godfrey.
Oh, legendary.
And I learned more from the study of Godfrey than all the people we talked about in psychology classes and what have you, because he had a sense of the audience, and like you do, and you really do have a sense of the audience. So when he sat in front of one thing in those days, because husbands were not at home listening to the radio and what have you, he knew that women were all by themselves, so working, mother husbands were were at work and they were cleaning the house and what have you. So we made the discussions very personal and what have you. And that was the beginning of the change of the history of radio. And and I'm not living in the past, but Steve Allen, before he died, wrote me, Steve Allen, before he died, said to me, Kreskin, and he sent me material he had on Godfrey, but I had a massive amount of material. For a number of years, people have wanted me to do his life story because they say it's a forgotten giant, and it's a sin in the history of broadcasting that people like that are forgotten. I'm not living in the past, but I thought it would be interesting to someone like you who really appreciates this whole scenario.
I certainly do, and Arthur Godfrey is certainly one of the giants, and it's sad that he's been forgotten over the years. Because
let me tell you an inside story, and I think your listeners will find this, and you young people listening in will find this very, very meaningful. A few years ago when I announced this, I got very heavily criticized by the Daily News in New York and what have you, and then they researched and then printed an apology and what have you. Had the president, the vice president, been assassinated during the Eisenhower in office, and this is even before the McCarthy era, it was decided that the one person who would take over the country was Arthur Godfrey. And when people heard this, the president, this is silly and so forth, well, they found discs. They found discs in all the major networks, not discs, they were records in those days. And had an assassination taken place, the record was to be put inside a machine. And all you heard was this. This is Arthur talking to you. Just stay by the radio, and when I get to a live microphone, I will be able to suggest what to do and what have you. Fortunately, it wasn't necessary, but it showed the rapport, the communications that were very, very important. Television has lacked, and you know, because you are a highly personalized individual, you have a great ability to communicate with folks. Television in recent years has started to lack that personalized quality. Too many of the shows are becoming mechanical. I don't mean to be know-it-all and what have you, but the close passion is slowly disappearing. Nobody knows half the time anymore if what they're seeing is live or not live or taking place. You understand what I'm saying, Scott?
I do. You know, I learned this a long time ago, that if I come on the air, and it's always live on radio, if I'm sick, if I'm feeling under the weather, if I'm doing whatever I'm doing, the show must go on. But I tell the audience that because they're in it with me.
And they identify with you. One of the lessons that a lot of people going into broadcasting today have not learned is that when they are talking to someone on the air, you who are listening to me, whatever you're doing right now, they're talking person to person, because it's not often that a group of people are sitting in the morning or the afternoon listening to the radio. It's one person. Godfrey stopped the use of the word ladies and gentlemen, because what people don't know about early radio is when people came in to work in early radio in New York and some of the major cities, they were dressed in evening gowns and suits and everything else. And then finally, it became clear, hey, these people are not, this is not some, and then the term was used as ladies and gentlemen. Well, it's not a formal era. Radio is, to me, one of the most personalized forms of communication in existence. And if people would only listen to the nature of radio, and you young people going into the communication field, you can learn more from radio than reading all the books and how to talk to an audience or how to think about an audience. So I'm going to tell you something, Scott. I'm glad we talked about this, because when I do concerts at universities, a lot of times they say, Kreskin, can you do a Q&A before the show or later on that day or what have you, because we have 60 or 70 people who want to go into broadcasting, to radio, to TV, to movies, to stage and so forth, and maybe you could give them some idea of what it's just like. I can't tell a person how I couldn't train them to have the success you have and I have, what have you, but I can give them tips as to the very, very important thing, and one of the most important things of all is to personalize their communication. I don't care if my audience is in an outdoor fair of 100,000 people, the Minnesota State Fair or what have you, or this week, or this month, I have one show that's eight people. people at a private home. I told you I'm doing private homes, and I have a ball because the 20, 30 people, one place I'm performing at, I'm doing four shows in this home, not the same day, and each of the audiences are going to be different. They want to invite some other group of people, friends and what have you. I love personalizing things.
Well, you know, Kriskin, and this is just a little bit off topic here, but when I speak to a class, a journalism class, I tell them one thing. I say, you know, I'm not sure if you can teach broadcasting, but this is the quote I give them. I say, I never learned anything when I was talking. And if you keep that, you got it.
That's a very, very... We have to be good listeners. For God's sakes, we have to listen to because we can learn more from listening, and not that we shouldn't express ourselves, but from what we learn from listening, we can expound upon it. And that remark is an extremely important remark today. I told you, I think I've said in the past, what Bob Hope told me was the best advice I've given to people that want to go into broadcasting or show business. You've heard me say it before, haven't you, or didn't I, Scott?
I do believe so, yes.
About the business of if you have talent, the bottom line is and this is, and everybody in show business says, if you have talent, if you've got a lot of skill, you're willing to work for nothing, and you're willing to take advantage of every opportunity, and you have a great deal of luck, then you have a minuscule chance of ever making it in the business. And Bob Hope said to me, I have never heard such a straight piece of advice, because those who have a passion about this, and some have not been big in their career in show business 30 years later, but it's still a passion. It doesn't bother them to know that there's a minuscule chance. That's the facts of life in the business. And that's the excitement of it, Scott, you know?
It is, and it's live, and it's fun, and it's...
That's right, it's live. And you're creating it yourself. I'm sorry, something's happened. One of the negative things that's happening in the business today, in the communication area, and this is something I've talked about and mentioned, more and more affairs, whether it's weddings or what have you, the local bands, the two or three piece or four piece bands that proliferated through the decades are no longer there. You now have disc jockeys that are playing discs. And very often the discs are playing blatantly loud. One girl, she's no longer with us. She and I are very close. I took her on trips around the world when sometimes we're traveling. We'd go to weddings and affairs, and after the wedding, we'd be sitting and we're eating at the affair, and the music was so loud, the disc jockey music, they didn't even think that people want to communicate and talk to each other. And this is happening more and more, even in some nightclubs where the music is so blaringly loud that people are not comfortable communicating as they once did. The key to music is a background, unless you're watching a performer go through a number or what have you.
Kriskin, this is a fascinating conversation. We'll have to expound on this sometime. We've got about 14 minutes here because I know you have a very busy day. Now, last week when you were on the program, you teased that you had a big announcement for the new year. What is that big announcement?
I want to tell you something I want to do, Scott, and I'm not crazy. And maybe, when I said this to the audience last night, they said, oh, when they started applauding. And I said, I don't know if anyone will quite agree to this. But here's what I'd like to do. And don't anyone say that I'm playing sides, because while I have my political tastes and who I'm interested in seeing win the case, I keep my politics off the stage and what have you. But I would like to simply invite, and those of you running for office in different cities or nationally and what have you, if you're listening to me right now, I mean this because I have more and more press saying, Kriskin, I'd like to be there. What I want to do is this, Scott. I'm inviting anyone running for office, because there's always questions about the integrity and how they feel about so forth. I would like to meet with each person. I would like to meet them separately. I don't care if there's four or five coming, but in each situation, I would like to meet them separately for no more than 5 minutes. I want to sit, whether it's the press or writers or what have you are there, that doesn't matter. And all I want to do is to ask a simple question. It could be about a certain campaign they're championing or what have you. and I do not want them to answer me out loud. I want them to keep their mouths shut. If they do speak to me, I won't even pay attention to what they're saying. I want to see what impressions I pick up mentally, and I have the right to just reflect and say them in a casual way. It's not going to be a disparaging situation, but I have been... So let me tell you a background story. A few years ago, I was asked to be on a jury trial, and it was a murder case here in New York and what have you, and this is a few years back, and I had said, oh my God, what am I kind of scheduled? I can't be away out of work for 2, 3, 4 weeks, but as an American citizen, I got to attend, and in Newark, it was a few hundred people, so the chances of the 12, 14, or 16 my being picked were minuscule. I was picked. I was picked to be on the jury. And there were two attorneys up front sitting at standing by another table way in front of everyone. And the judge was on a dais like he was, holding court and what have you. And the judge had to ask each candidate the same set of 8 or 9 questions. I forget what they basically were. And when he came to me, he says, sir, he asked me the basic questions. Do you feel in some way that you can help in the trial and what have you, and be a constructive participant? And I said, yes, I really do, Your Honor. I've never been on a trial case. I've always been turned down, but I would like to be able to. He says, how? And I said, Your Honor, to be very honest with you, after the trial is over, when the entire jury is deliberating, I will share with my fellow jurors that I point out those people who were in the case, were witnesses, that were lying, and those people were telling the truth. Instantly, the two lawyers that were the defense for the person jumped up. The place had to stifle laughter, and they raced up to the judge. They didn't say anything. They just raced. I didn't say they just got up. It was like a movie. They jumped up and raced over, and you could hear them quietly talking. And it was all over. The judge turned to me and says, Mr. Kreskin. I said, yes, Your Honor. He says, I've seen you in person a number of times here in the East Coast in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and I've watched you for years on television. I think you better get the hell out of here. And the place went into pandemonium. True story, Scott. Is that not interesting?
That is a great story.
And when I got out, there were scores of police and their secretaries there wanting autographs and so forth. But Scott, when I said what you just heard, because you are really the first. I mean, I've been interviewed yesterday, but it hasn't gotten into print yet. But your audience is the first to learn about this, and I mean this sincerely. I'm not even joking. I would relish the opportunity to sit. And if you think I'm playing a game, and you know I'm not playing games, I just want to sit there. I want to hear their answer. Yes, no, not their answer. I don't want to hear their answer. I will hear their answer mentally. And if they talk, it'll distract me, because the talking can be a distraction with politicians. I just want to hear the vibrations I receive, and then I'll express what I pick up. I have wanted to do this for 3 or 4 years, and people close to me have said, Kreskin, it's about time you do this. You got people all over the place with different positions and what have you. And then they're wondering if any of them are going to be courageous enough to come through, because I'm not going to try to disparage or destroy them. But I'm also going to express the impression I get. You are the first to have this announcement take. And by the way, if you'd like, if something comes through, I'll send you a message and let you know what's going to happen. That way you can do a follow-up with me.
Oh, that would be great, Kreskin. Now, do we know what question you're going to ask them?
Well, let's just say something very simple. The person... is advocating killing all airline travel because of the air, what it creates in the air and what it does to nature. You know that particular case. I'm going to an extreme right now. All I want to ask them is this. I'm not going to ask them whether that's going to happen or not. Common sense tells us it will not happen, period. But I want to ask, do you really believe in that campaign? And I want to tell you, Scott, I want to hear an answer, because I have a feeling in the responses I'm going to get is going to be quite a surprise to people who are listening to these campaigns.
Mm. That's very interesting. Now, Kreskin, another question we all have, because right before the big holiday...
You've turned... By the way, I love talking to you, Scott, because we can go for hours. I swear.
We could. We have a great rapport here in the morning. It's a lot of fun. But what's fascinating to me about this whole thing, Kreskin, is right before the holiday, our president, President Trump, was impeached by the House of Representatives, and we believe he will have a trial in the Senate now. We don't know how that's all going to turn out, but maybe you do. What's your feeling on that? What's going to happen in the Senate?
I don't want to get, you know, people saying, well, he's supporting this person, supporting this person, what have you. Intuitively, I don't think that the impeachment is going to come about. I don't think that the man will be impeached. Now, I'm not saying I know it all and what have you, but I don't believe that the impeachment will be a success and the person will be removed from office. By the way, I've been toying around with having a bet with 10 people for the sum of $10,000 cash that I'm correct, and I do not bet. I do not gamble. And if you think I'm you know me well enough, I'm not even joking. But that's how certain I am that he will not be thrown out of office. And when I say I'm not, people say, Kreskin, I will not bet against you because you don't bet if you're going to lose or what have you. But I'm tempted to offer, if 10 different people want to put up $10,000 and I win the money, I'll turn it over to charity. They can do with the money if I lose it, but don't expect to win the money. Not that I'll leave town. I may go on vacation with a certain gentleman who's on the air in Ohio, but we won't talk. I'm joking, Scott.
Kreskin.
You know, I'm going to tell you something, Scott, in the audience, and I kid with my audiences about politicians and people. I said it before many, many times, God damn it, if we can't laugh at ourselves, that is one of the first signs that we are in trouble as a culture. And I mean that, Scott. I mean that very, I'm very, very deeply concerned. Not for the Seinfelds and what have you, because they will continue. But if people, when they speak, whether they're politicians, not politicians, whether they're rabbis, whether they're ministers, whether they're entertainers or what have you, if they can't kid about things that are going on, and they're going to be criticized because you said a joke about someone that's heavy or someone that's in another color and what have you, and I'm going to tell you something, and it's a revelation to people because I just admired with tremendous fervor some of the great blackface performers of all time, and I know right now they're criticizing people in the past who had blackface and what have you, and I have a list in front of me of all the people they're going to try to destroy, because this is not casual. This is not people suddenly saying, oh, so-and-so was in this movie with blackface. No, folks, so you understand, with payment behind this, this is all well constructed. The list I have with, which include Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, and on and on, I could get down the list. Understand years ago that blackface was very common because something was tremendously popular in our livelihoods, and that was minstrels. I went to minstrel shows here in my hometown and what have you. And by the way, if you're going to start discovering that so-and-so in college did a blackface routine, I dated a gal for years, and the man that she loved was the man who made famous the song Mammy and so forth. You know I'm speaking of, the great singer?
I do.
Who?
The person who sang Mammy?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I'm trying to remember what her name was.
The white singer. The white singer who sang.
Oh, yes.
Rock-a-dye, my baby and so forth. Your audiences are going to call in and tell you because I want them to think about the name of that person. But he dressed in blackface all the time.
Oh, Al Jolson.
Al Jolson. Who some very famous authorities in music say was the pioneer singer before Crosby came along and personalizing. He was fantastically successful. He often dressed in blackface. No, it was not anti-black or anything else so forth, because if you really want to start criticizing people, folks, and you're one of these people with this movement, start investigating your grandparents. Because in every town, when minstrels took place. The mayor sat on stage in blackface, the supporting ones, 60, 70, 80 years ago, because they just loved the minstrel music and so forth. It was a part of the climate. I dated a gal out in Indianapolis for a number of years. I was out there, and we would go to minstrels earlier in my career, and she loved them, and she was a black woman, and she took no offense. It is interesting how we destroy the past and misinterpret the past, because that was not done in any way, shape, or form as anti-black or what have you. It was just another period of history. End of commentary as far as that concern. I want people, you folks listening in that are going to school and so forth, learn about history, because we're not being taught history the way it really took place at times. I think you understand what I'm saying, Scott.
I do. Kriskin, with 2 minutes left here, I want to know, we have a lot of people running for the Democratic nomination for president. Do we know who the Democratic nominee for president's going to be?
I don't feel right now, and I don't want to say anything, because it's too hot now, and I'm going to be slammed off the face of the earth. No, the problem right now is that there's such a multitude of people. I'm going to tell you something that's happening right now, and this is not whether a person's Democratic or Republican, what have you. As I'm traveling, and you know this, Scott, the public is getting more and more disgusted with the campaign right now, because it's getting so blurred. And I tell you this, and you know this, they're not paying attention anymore. Do you hear me, Scott? They're not paying attention. The debates, you heard about the lack of ratings on the most recent debates. No one really cares, because it is becoming so blurred, it is becoming so confusing, that they're not really able to identify as much with any individual. I never heard, and this is not criticizing one person running for office, I've never heard such a downcast feeling about election as I've heard now. The public just has had it. They're not interested as much, and I'm sure they're, as far as, you know, running for president, what have you, they're going to have some very, very strong. And by the way, talk about changes. I think that people get a kick out of. I think this is interesting, because it's out of left field. There's going to be a renaissance, and this is not, I don't particularly believe in this area. I'm not against it, but I don't support it. You're going to see in the next year and a half, a great interest again in astrology. You heard me, astrology. Now, I'm not I don't read charts and what have you, but people in the past, when I was growing up, we would read every day the astrology column, which is not in the newspapers as much anymore. People are turning for other areas to get a difference of appealing and feeling, and I predict that astrology will be one of the areas. Oh, and by the way, one of the interesting things that no one has thought about, the transgender situation, where people have, you know, come out, people that were born a male are now female and so forth. Prepare yourself. And psychologists say, Chris, we can't talk about this. Thank God you're saying something. Prepare yourself about some of those people who are now changed, who will go back to their original sex. You heard me. Back to the original sex. And don't someone come out and criticize Kriskin for not knowing what he's talking about. Just wait and see.
Oh, that's fascinating. Kriskin, it's always a pleasure to visit with you.
I could talk.
We could talk and before we part ways, just one quick question here, a yes or a no on this. Will Donald Trump be at the same address for the next 6 years?
Now, you're asking me if he's going to win the next election. Boy, I want to tell you, do you notice, folks, how subtle Scott is? If Scott were working for the police, they'd have to put a guard around him, because he comes forward with these questions. So, Scott, I can't say right now, but as we get closer to the election time, maybe you'll be one of the people who'll get a message for me. But you got to keep it sealed, Scott. You can't open it until the election time, because it's the one area that I don't answer ahead of time, and I really mean that sincerely. By the way, I know we only have a minute or so forth left. As I said, parents, you got to let your kids fail at projects that they're doing. Don't be afraid to have them fail. And we're going to be the business of psychics is going to diminish, because we're going to become so overcrowded with amateurs using electronics to find out how people, when they go into stores, what their tastes are. You're going to have electronics everywhere you can imagine. In almost every business meeting you have, it could be a pen on the table. I'm telling you, folks, this, face the facts, you folks going to college. Those meetings will be recorded. How do I know? No, I didn't look in the future. I'm telling you what businessmen tell me behind the scenes, because they don't know if 22 years from now, someone going to college is going to remember that they made a mistake and did something wrong. And years ago, you forgave a person for doing it. Today, your past cannot be erased. And that's a serious, sad commentary. And electronics is going to support that commentary.
Ooh. The Amazing Kreskin's New Year's Predictions, one of my favorite times of the year. Kreskin, you have a wonderful new year, and I'm sure we will talk again soon, and I'll be waiting for that envelope sometime this year.
All right, God
seal it up.
And be the good Lord will, it'll be in the near future. Happy New Year, Scott.
Happy New Year, Kreskin. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Scott.
The legendary Amazing Kreskin. Boy, we've got the New Year's predictions on the table now. Now, how about that? Now, that's very interesting to me. Astrology is going to make a comeback. Now, do a lot of people follow astrology? Let me see here. I'm trying to remember. I think I'm a Pisces. Are you reading the paper today? I think I'm a Pisces. Anyway, we've got about 11 minutes left here before we're going to break for the top of the hour. We thank the Amazing Kreskin for coming on. New Year's predictions, always a lot of fun. But I want to talk about this Christmas gift that I got here for the next 10 minutes. I got an air fryer, and I talked a little bit about this yesterday. And this morning, I got a message from one of our listeners on things to do with an air fryer. So I'm wondering, did anybody use their air fryer yet, or does anybody have an air fryer that can give me some tips? We got about 10 minutes here. Give me a ring, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And as you know, I always get paranoid when the Amazing Kreskin's on, because back in the summer, we had Kreskin on, and for some reason, I don't know. I could hear him okay in my headphones, but apparently it did not go out over the air very well. And so now every time he's on, I get paranoid that people hear him okay. So I hope you heard the Amazing Kreskin okay this morning, because those New Year's predictions are very interesting, to say the least. Give me a ring, 740-383-9944. Did you hear Kreskin okay, and what did you think of his New Year's predictions for the big 2020 coming up just around the corner? Or do you have any ideas about an air fryer? How do you use it? What recipes are good for it? Let me know. I would love to hear, because mine is still in the box on the table. Now, maybe later on today it will move from the box to the counter and I'll start using it. You know, I would like to cook a steak in it. That sounds good to me. A steak, a hamburger, something like that. I must be low in protein today, because for some reason, meat sounds good to me today. But I hope you heard the Amazing Kreskin okay. Let me know if you're out there. 740-383-9944. It's always interesting to hear from you and hear what you hear and think about what's going on in the morning here on WWGH Radio. He's always fascinating. I find Kreskin just endlessly fascinating. I don't know how many years he's been doing these New Year's predictions, but they've been going on for a long, long time. And, you know, it's kind of fascinating, because I forget how many presidential elections he has predicted, but many, many, many. Dating back many, many years. I don't know how he does that. I don't know. Is there a trick to that? I don't know. I wouldn't say there's a trick, I guess. I'm just not sure how that happens. Anyways, we thank the Amazing Kreskin as always. Do want to remind you about the Neighborhood Supper free meal, second Tuesday of each month, 5:15 p.m. Trinity Baptist Church, 244 South Main Street, in the rear entrance. The next meal will be January the 14th, the Neighborhood Supper free meal, second Tuesday of each month, 5:15 p.m., Trinity Baptist Church, 244 South Main Street, in the rear entrance, on January the 14th. Now, let me tell you about my morning this morning, because we didn't get into this at the start of the program. Now, yesterday morning, I told you the day after Christmas was kind of interesting because I was driving in and I was a little late yesterday morning. I'll admit that. I was a little late coming in and I passed by McDonald's, and for the first time, this is the McDonald's on Mount Vernon Avenue, and I passed by McDonald's, and for the first time, there was no cars. Well, we're getting a call here. I'll come back to this. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
On your air fryer.
Yes.
When you open it up, there will be a pamphlet in there. It will tell you what you can cook, what you can't cook, and how long. And you can cook just about anything on it. So, and there should be recipes or whatever with that pamphlet.
Now, how long does it take to cook a hamburger?
A hamburger, it should take no more than about 4 to 5 minutes.
4 to 5? Now, do you have to flip it?
You have to just put it in and let it air fry.
Just let it air fry for 4 to 5 minutes?
It could be less. It depends on the type you got.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, thank you.
So, yep.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Well, see, there's some information on the air fryer. 4 to 5 minutes on a hamburger? Now, that's pretty good. I might have to stop on my way home today and get a hamburger. That sounds good to me. You know, there's nothing better than a nice hamburger with some cheese on top of it. That's the way to go. I'm not much for the bun, but I like the hamburger. A little bit of cheese on top, maybe sometime a little bit of onion, depending on if I want to cut the onion up. Sometimes tomato is good if I want to cut the tomato up, and then you just eat that. That is delicious. And you know what I do sometimes is I'll cut up like Colby cheese, and I'll melt the Colby cheese on top of the hamburger, which I think is very good. But anyway, if you have anything more on the air fryer, call me. We've still got about 6 minutes left here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So I'm driving to work yesterday morning, and there was nobody in the line at McDonald's, which was great. But I was running a little late, so I couldn't stop. So this morning, I thought, well, I'm sure people aren't back to work yet, so this morning I'll stop, and I'll get a drink. I'm driving past McDonald's, and I think, oh, of course, this morning they'll be busy. I wasn't really running late this morning, but I'm driving past, and I noticed there's only about, like, 2 cars there. So I thought, this will be great. I can stop and get a drink. It's Friday morning. Won't that be wonderful? So I pull into the McDonald's. I go right up to the window because the 2 cars that were there when I was driving by have already gotten through. I pull up to the first window, and I say I'd like a large Diet Coke. And the lady says, we can all say it together, we're out of Diet Coke. Now, how in the world do you run out of Diet Coke? What is that? You can't run out of Diet Coke. The multi-million dollar conglomerate company that McDonald's is should be able to have Diet Coke on hand. Now, I understand these are fountain drinks, and you've got to put that box up there that, you know, makes a fountain drink when you put when you put the fizzy water with the syrup and it makes the fountain drink. Now, didn't somebody at McDonald's yesterday notice that, hey, we're running low on Diet Coke here. We need to get some more or we're going to be out. Now, how did this happen? There must be a curse or a hex over my head when it comes to this. I don't know what's going on. So yesterday morning, I didn't stop because I was running late, even though they didn't have a line. And this morning, I did stop because they didn't have a line, and they were out of Diet Coke. So there's a little message for you. Don't go to McDonald's on Route 95 today. Well, right now. I don't know how long this is going to be. It's a shortage. But there is no Diet Coke on Route 95, Mount Vernon Avenue's McDonald's, as of the time I went there this morning. What a thing. Do you think I have a curse? Any thoughts on this? We have about 2.5 minutes left. 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. Give me a call. We have a whole nother hour coming up here after news and weather here on the Now program this morning. So we'll do that from 9 to 10 this morning. And then from 10 a.m. till 12 noon, it's the Charlie Evers Show, a Marian tradition. And then from 12:10 to 1 p.m., we have the Exchange Club with Charlie and myself, and we'll probably talk about the new year and the events of 2020 and maybe a little bit of potpourri here and there. I was listening this morning when I came in of that whole conversation that Charlie had and I had about poinsettia and poinsettia and ponset. Now, I never heard of ponset. That's a new one. But apparently that was a hoity-toity way to say poinsettia. You called it a ponset. But I'd always heard poinsettia. Now, Charlie says it's poinsettia. But I still think it's poinsettia. Because I think it's general poinset or ponset is who it's named after, which was an American general. So I'm not even really sure how this all happened. Why did this flower become the Christmas flower, and why is it named after this general, and so on and so forth. I'm sure there's a deep story there about the whole thing. But I still hold to the idea that it is poinsettia and not poinsettia. Now, somebody from UCLA said it had something to do with, you know, like some words are masculine and some words are feminine, and that poinsettia is feminine and poinsettia is masculine. I don't know if that's true or not either. It's all a bunch of stuff. So maybe we'll talk about that at noon today. Who knows? We're going to break here in just a few seconds. You're tuned into WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Download the free TuneIn app, and you can listen anywhere on any mobile device absolutely free. We'll be back in about 10 minutes with much more. Don't you dare go away. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. It's the talk. McGrath from Sesame Street.
Oh,